How do you like, you know, found a magazine?
Oh, you
know?
So all you do is you go to the bar and then you have like four or five drinks and then you text your buddy from Los Angeles and say, hey, do you want to start a magazine with me? And then you hope that they say no when you wake up. And then,
hey, you want to know how you start a podcast? Yeah. You hit up your buddy and you say, we should start a podcast, and you hope they say no.
Exactly, man. That's how most great things happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. This podcast is brought to you by Juno Coffee, made right here in the Central Valley of California. Nothing beats fresh brewed coffee, and their fresh brewed coffee is delicious. However, their specialty instant coffee is a great alternative for those who are on the go, whether you're hiking, climbing, parenting, or out there just being rad. I have tried so many instant coffee, you guys, and this instant coffee tastes delicious. It tastes like an actual cup of coffee. I can't describe to you guys that, like, most instant coffee just tastes bad, and this one tastes so good. It tastes like an actual cup of coffee. I even just have it at home. It's so good. So if you guys want to purchase their products, you can go find them at their website, drinkjunocoffee.com. Once again, that's at drinkjunocoffee.com, or follow them on Instagram. It's at drinkjuno. Go check them out. Nick's a cool dude. He runs his whole Drink Juno Coffee, and he's a great dude. Go check him out. Go support him, and thank you, Nick. This podcast is brought to you by Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Not only do they offer these great tasting wines, but they also offer delicious de-alcoholized CBD wine. Infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help reduce anxiety, alleviate stress, and you can find their products at crybabywine.com. If you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, you can check them out at crybabywine.com or follow them on Instagram at crybabywinecalifornia. Thanks again, Crybaby. This podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing, the official beer of the podcast. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery offers not only delicious tasting beer, but great events that bring the whole community together. So on November 23rd, make sure that your calendar is cleared for Friendsgiving 2022. It will be in Atwater at the Tarmac, and there will be beer, games, live music, cocktails, and much more. They also have a new cider coming out this month, and their Defogginlicious is back as well. So check out their stuff on Instagram, at Blaker Brewing or at Blaker Tarmac. Once again, it's at Blaker Brewing or at Blaker Tarmac. Thanks again, Blaker. This podcast is brought to you by Wooten Personal Training. You won't find the answer in a cute pair of leggings or in that new protein shake, but you will find it during your time at Wooten Personal Training. Justin empowers clients to identify their wellness goals and adjust their lifestyle to make health a priority and a reality. Justin offers one-on-one personal training as well as a small group training in a studio located in downtown Merced. And he just launched a new membership program. So if you guys have any questions about that, please contact Justin at 209-500-7323. Once again, it's 209-500-7323. Or follow him on Instagram at Wooten Personal Training. Once again, that's at Wooten Personal Training. Thanks again, Justin. This podcast is brought to you by WorkNet and the Merced County Workforce Development Board. On this podcast, we often talk about how people from the Central Valley made it, either in a career or starting their own business. In Merced County, WorkNet provides people with career advice or job information and the training they might need in order to change careers. WorkNet services are provided through Merced County, and they are completely free, so it's a no-brainer, you guys. Now, if you guys are interested in taking advantage of this, you guys can check them out at worknetmerced.com. Once again, you guys, if you guys need help starting a new business, switching jobs, anything like that, they offer free help, and that is at worknetmerced.com. Thanks again, WorkNet. Thanks for tuning in to Central Valley Podcast. I am your host, Micah D'Ailey, and if you're new around here, this is a show where we highlight the talented individuals who make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people in general who are passionate about what they do. Once again, you guys, we got merch for sale. Please follow me on Instagram at Central Valley Podcast. That's where I post all the promos, all the trailers, all the highlights, everything else like that. That's pretty much my main source of the podcast, so please check that out. And then if you guys could also do me a favor, go over to our YouTube page and please subscribe to the YouTube channel. So type in Central Valley Podcast and it'll come right up. You could subscribe to the channel and just show support that way. It helps the algorithm. It helps everything else. So please do that, you guys. I truly, truly appreciate it. Merch is for sale on the website. We got cool looking hats and stuff like that over here. And it would just mean the world to me. Now, today's musical guest, you guys, is Slow Burn Crew. I linked up with Slow Burn Crew. Well, I first saw Slow Burn Crew about a year ago after I had Dallas on my podcast, Dallas Hooford. Shout out to Mulberry Dreams. And he had them on his podcast, and that's kind of where I was first introduced to them. Started checking out their stuff, and over the past year, I've got to see them evolve and grow into like, the talented individuals that they are. So, it's just such a unique duo, the Slow Burn Crew is. So, there's Shortage, who makes the beats and raps, and then there's Chuda, who also raps and sings and everything else. And so those two have such a unique bond, and I just love seeing their energy and how they can just pump each other up, and like they're so in sync with each other. It's just so awesome to see, and that's what you're going to see in this next performance, you guys. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is Slow Burn Crew performing their song, Tiptoe.
Ah, shit.
What
this is?
I don't know.
Think they know this?
I don't think they know.
Maybe now. Look. Damn, man, I'm pissed off. Damn, damn, damn. Man, I'm pissed off and I'm... Hold on.
You got it.
Listen.
What?
Look, damn. Man, I'm pissed off. Hit the blunt twice. It's a big cough. Big boss and you ain't Rick Ross. What? I can let you get a little weird. You can rock. Damn, I got an ego. Dirty DS. Keep me heavy. I can't keep those. Put her Gigi's on her net and I can't blame her. She just trying to get a check and I can shame her. Vroom, vroom, big, big, go a distance. Red lines hopping out in every instance. Don't smoke, let us know the line is this. You bugging for a piece of digital like the insect. Dime algo. I had bitches even when I had the alto. Hey, hey, different route though. Toco, you won't keep my name out your mouth though. Talk alone, I'm riding. Pick her up, smoke her out, she excited.
Okay.
Can you keep it gangster if your ex sliding?
I don't know.
All I picture when they mean to get violent. 1, 2, to the 4. You ain't talking money, baby, go ahead.
Myself getting stuck on the sidelines, not being this right. Any, meeny, money, mo. Who's at the dough? It's money, fame, drugs. You can never take the money and the drugs. The fame, you can have it. I know myself. I'll make a bad addict like, whoa.
Yeah, who got the bottle?
I shit, steady sipping, gotta drive home. Up, down, left, right, got cheat codes. On me, my time, car, free throw. 3 lanes, my life, and I dropped out. Knew me back then, you don't know me now. New me, new goals, new focus. I'll pay up, don't trip, you focus.
1, 2, to the four. If you ain't talking money, baby, go with the bus. Off a spliff, I am as one, I'm playing this one. Yes, on show, hey motherfuckers really got me going loco. I said,
yes, I could sit tall, but I'm still on 10, but I'm still on 10. The low end out now, baby.
Slow Burn Crew.
Now, wasn't that energy something different, you guys? It's just a duo that does stuff a little differently. I love the throwback beats and then the new beats and the new age. And I don't know, it all combines to be something so cool and unique. And like, it's just such a unique sound, especially coming out of here, the Central Valley. And so I was so happy that they came on the podcast and they performed two different songs. One song will be at the end, you guys. But please... do what you can and follow them, you guys. Go ahead and support their latest album, The Low End. And I just am so grateful that they came on the podcast. Thank you so much, Slow Burn Crew. We'll definitely have to do it again. Now let's just jump into today's episode. And our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is Michael Beelan. Michael is one of the founders of Analog Forever. And Analog Forever is a magazine that's all about film. And not filmmaking, actual film. So analog film, old cameras that have the film in them, that's what we're talking about today. So he created this magazine in 2018. And the reason they did this was to provide a global audience to photographers who use the analog process, the techniques, and just to give them a voice. Because, you know, right now I feel like we're in a day and age where everything's digital, everything's getting drowned out. And what this magazine is used for is to highlight those people who still use, you know, the analog techniques and the analog format. So I sat down with Michael, and Michael is such a cool dude. Like, we just broed out. We had a great conversation. I truly enjoyed it. You know, it went on routes and things that I didn't expect. But Michael also only shoots Polaroids. So that's the most unique thing I have ever heard from a photographer. A lot of photographers, you know, they bring out their Polaroid camera, do a couple of things. This guy only shoots Polaroids. So it was really cool sitting down talking to him, because I've only ever used a digital camera. So just hearing his process, what he likes to do, and just why he started it was such a cool story. It's a cool and unique story to me. And his upcoming projects that he's doing is even more crazy and unique. And it was just a great conversation. I truly, truly enjoyed it. So, Michael, thank you so much for coming on. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is Michael Beelen.
This is it. Real talk and whatnot.
Do like a what's up you guys, like I was on a podcast yesterday, and it was actually episode 69 of that podcast too, Duffy.
Oh really?
Yeah and I was laughing because our episode 69 is coming out in
2 days.
Yeah.
Is it the 420 episode? It has to be.
I mean, it's basically just like, it's not the 420 episode.
There was a lot of liquor, and it was
a lot of liquor. We were smoking cigars. We smoked 5 cigars in here.
Oh, fuck. What kind?
I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you at all. But what I can tell you is that this place smelled for 2 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
Like cigars.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I'm sure that was great. Like the next day, it's like, oh, this smells nice. And then the next day, you're like, fuck.
No. The next day I came in, I was like, I can't even be in here. And then I came and tried to work in here. And like I tried to clean it up and everything, and then I was like, for 2 hours I was working on stuff, and I was like, I just have a raging headache, and
yeah,
I was like, man. Oh, secondhand smoke. So
like, yeah. No wonder all those babies got cancer.
And
that's
then
crazy.
We left 2 air purifiers in here for like 7 days, basically.
Mm-hmm.
One of them still in
it
here.
It was just.
Like going, it was so bad.
It's hard to breathe.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. You vape? You used to smoke cigarettes?
No, I never really smoked cigarettes.
Oh
yeah,
shit!
Yeah.
I was a pack a day for 10 years.
Oh really?
And not healthy, but I don't know. You don't smell it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I do remember when I was in Portugal. Like I was always like pretty. I was always like, I didn't want to smoke cigarettes. But in Portugal, I did a couple times when I was there. And just because I think all Europeans are smoking,
oh,
you know
sure,
what
dude.
I mean? And I smelled one, like in the beginning, I was like, oh, that smells disgusting. And then I smoked one once.
Yeah.
And because we had like a crazy view, and it was just like cool. Like I was like, whatever, like I'm here like once, whatever.
Yeah, man.
So then I smoked it. And then we were like heading back. And I remember like beginning of the trip, I hated the smell of cigarettes. And then I was just like, I was just sitting there, and then the person who was driving was smoking a cigarette, and I was like, man, that smells really good. And I was like, holy shit, that's addiction.
Yeah,
like, right then and there. Like,
my favorite thing is, like, when you go to San Francisco, like, my sister lives there.
Yeah.
And, like, there's still bars that you can smoke inside, whether or not you can or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just feels badass to smoke inside.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's cool. Like, I feel like a little Sinatra-y. When
well,
I'm
that's why, like, when we were smoking cigars in here, but we didn't even have a window open or anything.
Yeah, no bueno.
And people live above us. We're always like, what do they think we do here? Because like he records musicians and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so sometimes we're doing like their like ad libs like da 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 like
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then like it's just like we have like the most random hours that we're here, because sometimes we're here late and the other times like, or actually probably most of the time they're like don't notice that we're here because it's the daytime, you know what
right.
I mean? But freaking at nighttime, I'm sure they're like, what the hell are they doing
there?
Yeah,
there's
down
like there? Rappers, and there's like the guy in suits coming in. It's very bizarre mafia-like situation.
Yeah, exactly.
We got.
And then I've had like the weed nuns come in and stuff like that. So it's just like.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. It looks so tight. And like, I've seen them around like on the internet, but I don't really know about it.
Okay, so basically they're called like the Sisters of the Valley, and they're a group of nuns, and they're technically nuns because nuns, it means like you take vows with like sisters, basically.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Rules. So that's like why they're nuns. But they're weed nuns, so basically that means that they grow CBD weed, and then they make CBD products, and they sell them worldwide. And so they just do CBD.
And they're from here?
They're from here, yeah.
Cool.
Exactly. It's so wild. But yeah, so I got linked up with them because I just asked them to come on my podcast when it was still in my house.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll see. And then they got back to me, and they came on, and then they invited we've been to a moon ceremony. The first moon ceremony was wild. And so they have like, so they make all their products by the cycles of the moon. So it's like part of their, it's basically like their Sunday service. Like exactly. I mean, that's kind of what I would describe it as.
Are they like?
Non-religious.
But, okay, when you say non-religious, do you mean non-organized religion?
Yeah, non-organized religion, okay. Not associated to a specific religion,
gotcha.
I guess.
Yeah.
But like, it's kind of like very spiritual. So like you can have your own, you can believe whatever you want. It's not necessarily.
Very eclectic.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Exactly. And it's basically like their set of vows that they did. And Sister Kate started it in, I don't know, 2014, 13, something like that. But Congress declared pizza a vegetable.
What?
Because to make school lunches healthier, like technically.
Oh, that makes sense. You just tell people that it's different than it is. That's fucking, that's so cool. I forgot you could do that.
Exactly. But, and then she was like, well, then I'm going to like declare myself a nun. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And that's kind of like where that came from. But yeah, now I just do photography, videography work for them. I went down to San Diego on a road trip with them. Me and my wife did.
Yeah.
It was just, and we stopped at different dispensaries along the way. They like talked and stuff. And then, but we just like an all expense paid trip.
And you guys are pro pot?
Yeah.
All right, tight.
Yeah, tight.
Yeah. Also, I'll start talking about conspiracies. If you give me that shit.
So, you're like, this is a Joe Rogan episode.
Yeah, guys. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but. Yeah,
no. So why don't you introduce yourself for people who are listening?
Sure. Yeah.
Who you are?
My name is Michael Beelin.
Beelin, my bad.
Yeah, it's like a B, like a bumblebee, and then Lin, like Oriental.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't do the weird H. Like, I'm German.
Oh, okay.
Be like, bad. I can't do it. But, yeah. So, yeah, Michael Beelin from Fresno, California. I am an analog photographer that focuses on instant film and Polaroid.
Mm-hmm.
I also run a magazine called Analog Forever Magazine.
And what is analog? When you say I shoot analog, you know, what is that for people listening?
Yeah, anything without a sensor.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
So no digital cameras, but, you know, I don't have a hard line on what that is because we're artists and we should break rules, so.
Yeah.
Don't shoot yourself into a box that no one puts you in.
Yeah,
that's silly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I do. I've been running the magazine for almost 4 years now. We founded it in 2018.
Okay, and then... So when you found this magazine, how do you found a magazine?
You know? So all you do is you go to the bar and then you have like 4 or 5 drinks and then you text your buddy from Los Angeles and say, hey, do you want to start a magazine with me? And then you hope that they say no when you wake up. And then,
hey, you want to know how you start a podcast?
Yeah.
You hit up your buddy and you say, we should start a podcast, and you hope they say no.
Exactly, man. That's how most great things happen, right?
That's a good
buzzed idea. And, you know, I had some previous experience in publishing before that.
Okay.
I've been running, like, punk rock style zines for a
while. Oh, okay.
You know, very independent. Like, in 2014, I founded something called Prime Magazine.
Okay, I saw that, too. Yeah. Or I, like, read, you know, the little about me, but I just didn't know what these magazines
were. Yeah, yeah. So, back then, I was... shooting instant film, and I was complaining to the same friend at the bar I was with when I texted my other friend. And I said, hey, man, I'm having trouble getting into magazines and galleries and stuff, and there's nothing really focused on instant film. And he's like, well, stop complaining. Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I did.
And that's how you...
That's it, man. Yeah, I didn't have any, like...
But Prime was still about,
instant film. And then Analog Forever, which is, like, the current thing I'm running.
It's, like, all film.
All film, like, wet plate collodion, which is, like,
what's that one?
1800 style, black and white tintypes.
Oh, wow.
Like, the ones that are shot on glass.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we do that. You know, we've done interviews and features with tons and tons. I think we're up to, like, 200 and change now at this point.
Dang. And so you guys actually print it too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Well, I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, we're really smart. So when everything is going digital, we like to print magazines because we're really good businessmen. You know? But
you have it online too that people can access?
Yeah. So
you're like, no, actually.
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's analog forever. We can't make it forever if we're not printing shit. So. But, yeah, so all the articles and features we do in, like, the printed magazine, we generally don't release them online for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so all the stuff we do online is just for online.
And then all the stuff you print is just for print for a little while?
Yeah.
And then you had to go on print first and then move it over?
And we just bump it up so people could see it.
Yeah, exactly.
We go out of print pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We've printed...
It's like limited number, pretty much?
Yeah, we print 750 copies every 6 months. So we do 2 editions a year. 10 artists a year.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Sorry. 10 per issue.
Oh, 10 per issue. Year. 20 a year. And then you just highlight their different work in it. So it's like, you know what I mean? You have collections of each person's work in
there? Yeah. So we do spreads between 8 and 16 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And we mostly interview. And for us, the writing is really important as opposed to the
photography. Put it a little closer. Sorry. I'm
sorry, you're good.
You're good. You can move it too. So it's
cool.
For you. Yeah.
So, you know, our goal is to highlight people's work. There's a lot of magazines out there that just throw a bunch of pictures into something.
With like one little at handle.
Yeah. It's like, here's their Instagram tag. Yeah. And I'm like, well,
who is them?
I really didn't need to buy this.
Yeah,
you know, and don't get me wrong. Some of those publications I've been in. They're great.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're setting out to do. You know, we want to inspire, educate, and form a community around people who still shoot old cameras and film.
Yeah.
And we've done a pretty good job.
Uh-huh.
You know, our Instagrams are out 45,000 and then some change.
Yeah.
Super good secret. All you got to do is just try and add everyone you know. There you go. Uh-huh. There's the secret. But beyond that, we do it day in and day out. It's not any of our day jobs. So we have a team of 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Really. So it's just based passion project, right?
Oh, definitely passion project.
That's cool. And I mean, hypothetically, the goal would be to do that full time if you could.
No. No,
The goal would be to just go out and shoot full
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when I was 20 years old, I decided I wanted to be a wedding photographer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hated it. It was the worst. I'm not a
no
people
comment.
Person. I may seem like I am, but I'm definitely not.
Yeah.
And it was just not my jam.
Well,
not my jam.
I think you can be a people person and not like, your weddings, it's like you're the low key, the coordinator of the,
the
photography. You know what I mean? The cinematography of the making your day look good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
how long did you do that?
A couple years. I did it for a couple years and then woke up.
You were a Canon shooter, you said?
Canon, yeah. I was rolling with the 5D and some L lenses and thought I was hot shit. It was great.
Yeah.
And it was good, but, you know, like I said before we jumped on the podcast, you know, I've been working in finance since I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having your laptop at your desk during your lunch break trying to like edit photos just doesn't work.
Yeah,
you know? But one day I woke up and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I don't want to do this at all anymore.
So you were doing weddings and doing the...
I was shooting landscapes and doing stuff like that, doing...
But you were also working, you were saying, your finance job too?
Yeah.
So you were just like doing a lot.
Yeah, and my son was like 9 months old at that time.
Just hustling.
Yeah, it was too much. So, you know, one day I woke up and I was just like, you know what? I don't want to shoot digital. I don't want to do any of this. And at the time... a company called Impossible Project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just paraphrase the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But they bought the factory because Polaroid went bankrupt.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So there's this crowdfunding. Thanks, Doc, for saving Polaroid film.
Mm-hmm.
Love you. And he started a company called Impossible Project. And right when I wanted to quit, they came out with like test film, mm-hmm. like as a beta film. Terrible.
Okay.
Most fun I've ever had taking photos.
Really?
Yeah. It was like the surprise of it all. Because like when you hit this button and you hear this sound.
there's not a sound right now?
I think my battery in this pack of film is dead.
I was actually curious about that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's how Polaroids work. I mean, that's how the camera runs, is there's batteries in the actual film card.
Yeah, yeah. There's a battery right here. And it lasts for quite a long time, but I obviously haven't picked up this camera in a little bit.
Yeah. But how long, and then how many Polaroids like are in one?
Eight shots. Yep. And it equals about like $2 to $3 a shot.
And how often do you pick up your camera and then you look at something and then you're like, no. Like, do you do that more often? Because I feel like for me, it's not that, because I'm like, I can take as many photos as I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have like 128 gigs or whatever.
Well, it depends on the day and the trip. You know what I mean? And how much money I'm willing to blow to get a good shot. But overall, I took 64 photos on a 6.5-day backpacking trip.
Okay.
Through the Sierras. So, you know, with...
That's why I hit you up right before that, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going backpacking or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So...
Where'd you guys go on that one?
You know, I'm a solo backpacker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to be responsible for other people's safety. I do some things that are not safe.
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't want to like have my buddy die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So like his mom would be so mad. So I usually go solo.
Uh-huh.
Find some peace and quiet. I also do like between 12 and 18 miles a day.
So you're just going.
Yeah, I'm just jamming. And
yeah.
If I want to stop, I can. But with the light up there,
mm-hmm.
I'm running. I don't have any graduated neutral density filters for this,
mm-hmm.
so it's basically sunrise, sunset. If there's clouds, it's
golden hour.
There's no. I mean, I could, but as far as the work I want to produce, like, I'm willing to wait 3 days for some fog.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, if it's not like super moody, then I'm just not that interested.
Uh-huh.
Like, I went on a trip to Oregon last December. And I drove up and back to like Cannon Beach in like 5 days.
Uh-huh.
I took like 30 photos the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So just patience.
Patience, yeah.
Patience.
Do you like the classic shots that are all on the Oregon like coast? Like there's the one that's like, I can't remember what it is. Type in Oregon Coast, Duffy. There's going to be, it should just come up. It's that one photo. There's like all these cliffs kind of, and there's like a, let's see. And then go to images. I know this is so broad of a thing to search.
No, you're good. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I went there. The very first photo.
Yeah, Cannon Beach. I've been there. Yeah, yeah.
And the top right, that was pretty cool.
And then go.
This one?
Hey, exit real quick. Oh, wherever that person is to the far right. Yeah, right there. There's a lookout that looks like that kind of. You know what I'm talking about?
It looks just like Five for Beach and
Big
Sur.
Yeah,
exactly, same idea, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That place is tight, but... Yeah. How do I say this nicely? I'm like the most like, I guess, proud hipster.
You want to get like the shot people don't know where? Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like that, like.
Exactly. Yeah,
you don't want to do the shot that everybody has, basically.
Correct. Yeah.
And I get that. And that is the blessing and the curse of social media is that like now we all see like all these cool things, but it's like funny because sometimes I'll see something and I'm like. There's a shot at Mammoth Lakes. You ever go to Mammoth Lakes area?
Ish. I mean, I go out of Bishop to go hiking.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Dude, you gotta go to Mammoth Lakes. It's my favorite spot.
Is it tight?
Dude, it's tight. It's the coolest mountain town in my personal opinion.
Cool.
Like, it just, there's so much to do and it's like a small town, but big enough to have like multiple bars and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so it just like, it's a cool environment to be around. But out there, there's a hella hot springs. There's like so many hot springs.
Oh,
natural
cool. Yeah,
hot
yeah.
springs. And then there's this one thing called like the Geological Hot Creek. Type in and then do a Geological Hot Creek. And so, yeah, so there's so many different hot springs out there. But one of them, there's this cool, and it's like a giant hot creek that people go through. But, yeah, people have been.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not been there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really cool, but it's funny because it's like when you go there, it doesn't, this is like compressed on like a 70 to 200 probably. You know what
I mean? Yeah.
Like, so when you go there, it's like doesn't
there's
look.
There's no way.
It just doesn't look as much like it as you would think. You know what I mean? But point being. Mammoth Lakes is awesome.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And like, I know why, like this camera, it's a fixed focal length, right?
Yeah, exactly. What is it technically?
It's a 50 mil.
50 mil?
Pretty much.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, yeah, I think it's like 45.
But
it's
yeah,
a little bit wider.
It's a 50 mil.
But
I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but like I can't reach out and touch stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And also like, you know, when you have this beautiful lake and this super tall mountain, it's always just like cuts off like this.
A little bit of it.
Oh, great. I'm going to go hike like 4 miles behind me to get this shot.
to
That's
get
fantastic.
A little bit higher.
Yeah.
Dang. And so, there's no attach, like through technology, they never made like any attachments to these things for different land.
They have. Yeah. So I have this. Let me grab it for you.
Yeah. And this is.
So I have this. This is 3D printed. I got it from a guy somewhere in Europe.
Uh-huh.
His name
and then you
me.
Put little things on top of this right
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then I
that's
have
wild.
I should have got it out.
Oh, it's okay.
Before we began.
Estabien. Yeah, I can speak two languages. I'm just kidding.
Me too.
And so this is a Polaroid SX70 Land Camera Alpha 1, but you sent it to you had bought it from a guy who does what to it?
Yeah, so Mint Camera is a company in Hong Kong, and he created Mint. That's his brand.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, gotcha.
And his name's Gary, super cool dude. Thanks, Gary, for the cameras and always replacing my broken ones. but yeah, so he replaced the internals of this camera, not the externals, left the lens alone. Most of the idea behind the camera is the same, but now I have this thing and it allows me to change the shutter speed and shoot both 600 and 100 film. And with attachments, that's lost in my bag. So you're good.
You're good. No worries.
But I can attach a step up filter to add like an ND filter, which I'm using.
Okay.
So if I like to shoot 600 speed film in the camera when I'm up in the mountains, it's just faster, sharper, easier. But with this, it allows me to stop down by four EVs.
Yeah.
So I can do both like pretty late sunset, twilight stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also allows me to shoot during daylight. So.
That's cool. And you can, it'd be funny to put like a ProMist filter or something like modern on.
Yeah,
there. Like,
yeah. You know people do some crazy things.
You know what I mean? Like
with
just to try to see, I wonder what this looks like. Because film is its own like thing. You know, it's so crazy because I've never shot. I mean, I've shot Polaroids, I've never shot film at all.
Oh my God, dude. Well, it's crazy. Like, I run an Analog Forever magazine, right? That's the name of my magazine. I have never been in a dark room.
You're like Polaroid specific, right?
Like, I shoot other cameras for fun. But like, as far as like my artistic work, it's all instant film. And I don't really have a reason why. I just like it. You know, there's no like super deep philosophical, it's so tactile in my hands and all that, like artist speak. And like, don't get me wrong, I support that type of philosophy, but for me, it's simpler than that.
Mm-hmm. Just like you it. Like it. Yeah. It's simple. Like, why make it more complicated?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, like I go through like what every year, like thousands of submissions for like the magazine, for online and in print. And all the times that I get like 15 paragraphs about something that could be like, and it's like, guys, like there's this really fine line between like selling yourself and being full of shit.
Some people are full of shit.
Only like two.
But it's like, but you don't need to make it. Well, it's like, it's always like summarized. You got to put the limit on there. Like the, you got to put the.
But dude, if we do it the other way around, we'll get one sentence every time. My name is Michael. I take photos.
One page max. That's a good length of a thing. It's like, get to your point within a page.
Right.
And so you first started this magazine 2018.
Yep.
And so kind of take me through the process of, because like when you first started, it was like just an idea. Then you're like, how do we actually have a magazine? Right?
Yeah.
How do you print it? How do you do everything? And so take me through that process.
Sure. So when we started it, all we knew is that we wanted to print something. And we called it Analog Forever Zine because previous to this, I've always done that, not low budget, but like soft cover, easy to produce, like easy to buy, cheap. But I've always printed with a company called Edition One. They're up in Richmond in the Bay Area, and they're fantastic people. Ben and Scott, thanks for taking care of us. But from start to finish, you know, I'll skip over the fact that we didn't even have a designer when we decided we wanted to start a magazine.
Yeah, yeah. Why?
But
I just do. Yeah. When you start stuff, you just roll with it.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
Figure out what you need on the way.
So, you know, our motto is say yes, figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
But from start to finish, you know, we do basically a 6-month cycle. We do submissions for about 30 days. We ask people to submit their work.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a few people in the industry that we always have our thumb on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it'd be really great to interview them.
Oh, you know? Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Kind of like the artists that you guys are kind of noticing and stuff that you guys want in the magazine, right?
Yeah. In the magazine and for cover artists.
Okay,
I mean, we've done interviews with tons of people that.
This podcast is brought to you by none other than Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make the process go as smooth and easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. If you're looking to get a tattoo in the Central Valley area and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than this dude right here. He's a versatile artist that specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to get in contact with him, the best thing you can do is stop by the shop in the beginning of the month in person and make an appointment. And if not, you can follow him on Instagram. That's @_Thor with 5 E's. Once again, that's @_ThorEEEEE. Thanks again, Thor. Are you thinking about that giant pile of junk in your backyard and you don't know what to do with it? Well, stop right there. Look no further than Scott Levesey, owner of Be Junk Free Merced. Everybody has stuff that's taking up space, but not everybody has time or equipment to do something about it. That's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, that spare room, or even a storage unit, give Be Junk Free Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, that's 209-233-1519. Thanks again, Scott.
You know, I didn't even know the name of that. Uh-huh. Were huge.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm so young. Like, my partner is in his 50s.
Uh-huh.
Right? My other teammates are in their 40s.
Uh-huh.
And they grew up around like, darkroom and all that stuff. And back when press was all film, and they have all those contacts, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of the idea guy, and I'm the cheerleader,
yeah,
and the project manager.
Yeah,
right? Those are my three things that I do well.
Yeah.
But from submissions, we have a 4-week writing time mm-hmm. where we most of us will write about 15,000 words
Dang.
In about 4 weeks. And we do a ton of writing, like a ton and ton and ton.
And then with this writing, you put all in the magazine?
Yeah.
But every person, like all, like, so just like, and then are you just writing about the artist or what are you guys like, variety of topics?
Yeah, we all have our different writing style, uh-huh. which really works out. Like I'm the more like metaphysical philosophy, sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's find tangents between this work and real world problems,
mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in the Valley, I was raised around a lot of conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 3 editions of the magazine, I've been able to like feature and interview artists, mostly women,
mm-hmm.
who are like super strong feminists, like mm-hmm. been in the movement forever. And it's been super cool. It really opened my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like trying to write about something that like, I'm a white dude. probably not the guy to be writing about this.
But yeah, yeah.
Through that process.
You're like diversity.
Yeah, yeah,
I believe
yeah.
it's an old wooden ship. I'm just kidding.
And it's just good, man. Like outside of the political spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, but, I think, yeah. You know, the past couple years have taught me that.
Yeah, I'm
that's
not,
better to be there.
Yeah, I'm not there. But it was really humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Just to it helps us learn about things that we don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our features are between, you know, 800 and 1,500 words, and then interviews are 3 to 4,000 words.
Mm-hmm. And then so, how many pages are in your
yeah,
magazines?
Yeah, yeah, 150.
100, oh, so it's more like a, it's more.
If it's a journal.
It's like a photo book, but magazine style.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Like, we print on super heavy paper.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's not a magazine, it's not like a People, you know, in a People
yeah,
magazine.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
You're like, all right, I throw this in the trash. It's like, has like a, is it thick on the cover or no?
Oh,
is
yeah,
it,
it's super thick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think each magazine weighs 1.6 pounds.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's a book.
It's thick, yeah.
It's a book. You're like, yeah, you're like a, you're, I guess you're making books, I feel like.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, we print with edition one books, right?
Okay, so, gotcha. That makes more sense
yeah,
to me.
And,
because like, it's like, if you're going to go through all this to highlight people, it's like, I always think like, what would be the point of like printing it on like shitty paper or like on like a magazine? Like,
yeah,
you know
people
what I mean?
Wouldn't even work with us.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, you have to like have the quality for people to show.
Yeah, we reproduce work that was intended for archival pigment ink,
yeah,
like
yeah.
gelatin prints, like
mm-hmm.
all of that. And I have previously had only one artist say, the reproduction isn't what I want. I can't do
okay,
this anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got him though.
Oh, did you?
The next round. But
you're like, look, this,
come on,
this cardstock. I don't know what the thing yeah, is.
Yeah. But it's like, good, yeah.
That's cool. And so then, so when you, your first edition you printed, how many copies?
If you We printed 500 copies.
500 copies.
Yeah. And we did that in December of 19.
Okay, gotcha. So you worked on it for like a whole year, basically?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know this. You need customers to sell products to. And
I love your insights on
yeah,
things.
Yeah, man. So we did a whole social media push. We were online only for a whole year.
Okay, gotcha.
Just to gather
social media,
an audience.
People, audience.
And we sold it pretty good. We had a launch party at, I always mess it up. Man.
What did it hit?
We got to Google it.
Yeah.
There's a gallery in San Francisco called Photo.
Photo Gallery San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be like 10.
There's a business and a gallery that have like the same name. It is SF Camera Work.
Here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
So you had it was a launch party there?
Yeah, we had a launch party there. It was great.
With when you actually had your books?
Yeah, yeah.
So
we drove up there.
That's
and
cool.
It was great. They're great folks over there. I worked with Heather. She was really mm-hmm. nice. And we basically just partied. We had
yeah,
a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah.
artists come out. You know, a big area of our base is like Bay Area, LA.
Yeah,
et cetera,
of course,
right?
Of course.
And it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. And we sold out pretty quickly. And I was so surprised. Like, really surprised,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
right? Like, we put a bunch of money up to print all the stuff.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
Like, cross your fingers.
I can only imagine how much money, because I would love to do I want to do a photo book of, like, Merced, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, every time I look up prices, I'm always like, man, even if I bought 10 of these, that's so much, like, it's like $1,000, you know?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
not that, maybe, but, you know, good for a good quality photo book, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all volume.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you want to wait 3 months to have it printed in China...
Yeah,
like
yeah.
offset printing.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely way cheaper by a couple bucks.
Okay, gotcha.
It's still
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, we're really lucky. You know, yeah. I you know, being in finance, I'm also the sales business gentleman.
Oh,
so that's... we you know, my part of my job is to reach out to, you know, industry retailers, merchandisers, mm-hmm. you know, camera companies, and secure advertisement. And that's relatively easy.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of knows us now, and we have a good partnership and relationship with businesses like Cinestill, who uh-huh. produces tungsten films.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're great. Freestyle Camera in mm-hmm. LA, Blue Moon in Portland. They're real nice.
That's cool. That's cool. And so you've been able to do those things. So you had 500 copies the first one in 2019. And so since then, you guys have had one. There's four or
the seventh one is coming out seventh. In 3 weeks.
Okay, so the second half of the year is basically
yeah,
right here. I gotcha.
Yeah, man, we're here. I'm gonna be spending me and my son
uh-huh.
are gonna be spending a lot of time packaging stuff in the garage. And
oh, so you guys package it all out, send yep. it. That's yeah. dope, dude. And then you have a whole bunch of books in your garage as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I have a whole like metal thing.
Yeah, yeah, like,
it's great, man.
That's cool.
It works out. It's you know. You ask me, other people ask me, like, is it hard or difficult? And I'm like, no, it's not difficult yeah, at all. You just yeah. got to do the work. Like, yeah, everything
yeah, yeah.
else, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't think anything's hard if you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, yeah, and like, it might be a lot. I feel like things can be a lot and not hard. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, yeah, maybe it might be a lot because, like, at the end of the day, it's like for that's not your full-time job, or like for me, like the mm-hmm. podcast is not my full-time job or whatever,
right.
You know what I mean? So like, yeah, it's a lot to do it like on your, when you're off, but it's not hard. Like I enjoy making my stupid promos, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's fun
yeah.
if you love it.
And, yeah, exactly.
But like everybody, you know, there's days where I'm like, fuck, I don't want to work on this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
normal, right?
That's for everything, yeah.
But I think for me, it's all about, how do you say it nicely? Time management, using a calendar,
yeah, yeah,
sticking to it, having discipline.
What's your, like, how have you developed your, like, routine and discipline to benefit you?
Yeah.
I ask this because I'm working on mine. I've asked this to so many people.
Well, you know, up until a month ago when I got my puppy Molly.
Yeah. You had things pretty
my
smooth.
Schedule was good, man. But in general, mm-hmm. like, not all the time,
yeah,
right?
Obviously,
I'm not
yeah,
perfect,
yeah.
but, like, gym, 5:30 in the morning. You know, mm-hmm. drop my son off at school. My son will go to the gym with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And then, you know, work. And then I get off like at 4:00.
Mm-hmm.
So I work for 90 minutes on the magazine every day.
Okay.
Monday through Friday.
As soon as work ends.
And that, yeah. And that's it. Yeah.
That's cool.
That, yeah. Easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also like, I'm not a very social person mm-hmm. in general. Like I don't really leave my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's going to the woods.
Recluse.
Yeah, man. Like, and it's
for this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You're pretty talkative for someone who doesn't go, like, you know what I mean? That, I mean, like,
I have social skills. Yeah. It's exhausting to use them. You know,
yeah. Like, yeah, I'm tired after this.
Yeah, man. But I think for the most part that helps. Like, I don't really do much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm working.
Well,
okay.
Well, besides the film yeah. and stuff, what do you do? What do you like to do? But so hiking, basically.
Hiking, camping.
Mm-hmm. And so you said you got into that later on. I mean, like
sure.
you got into that
yeah,
when you're
yeah.
like 28,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, like, how did you get into like hiking and stuff? Because I feel like a lot of people like I was born and raised camping and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And naturally, kind of go into the woods and stuff like that. But what drew you to go to the mountains and stuff?
Mostly me not wanting to be social, but wanting to do stuff. So, you know, I would invite friends and stuff,
yeah.
but like around that time in my life, like my son was getting older and no one could commit like, okay, Saturday, 9 a.m., let's go do this thing.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, like I'll be hungover. And I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
guys,
yeah.
like we're going to be 30. Come
yeah.
on. And I just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to start doing everything by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so liberating.
That's cool.
Like I have like two best friends, not a huge social circle, but
yeah.
on the flip side, like I talk to so many people every day
yeah.
through my job
oh, okay.
and through the
yeah,
magazine
yeah, yeah.
that I'm pretty tapped out. Like,
yeah, you already did like your yeah. socials of like your small talk and your, or everything, you know what I mean? I could see that then.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so like, I just started like, well, it was like two things, right? Like one, like I gained a lot of weight. I gained like 30 pounds. And I was like, man, I really want to lose weight. I really want to take photos. Like, and that was it. I was like, okay, well, I'll go for a hike, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It was great. And I was like, how come I never did this before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just going to...
What was, like, your first hike?
Or, like, I went to Pincushion Peak.
Okay, gotcha.
Over in Millerton, mm-hmm. in Fryant. And that was cool. And then it progressed really, really quickly. and then, like, I went on my first, like, backpacking trip, which was, like a one-mile hike.
In somewhere.
Yeah. And I brought a book, like a dumbass. Like, you're not going to read the book, dude. And it's so heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone. Every now and then, yeah, exactly. I'm always like, or like, even if I bring one camping, I always am end up like, I'm still not going to read this.
Right.
Like, I don't know why, but he's like, I like the idea of it. Like, sitting in the woods reading sounds peaceful and nice, but every time I'm there, I'm like, oh, I'll read that later.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like some mountains I got to go Spider-Man up right now.
Yeah.
But being so, you know, my whole life I played sports too. Mm-hmm.
What sports do you play?
I play volleyball.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, for forever.
Dude, do you know who Scott Levesey is? Or no?
No.
We're going to ask that. It's because there's one of my sponsors. But he played volleyball competitively. Like, and he's, like, he moved to the area, like, mm-hmm. and went to, like high school and stuff. But was, like, crazy into volleyball. Went to school for it and everything, too. But, like, you're the second person now that I've heard. And I'm always like, volleyball? Like, I feel like it wasn't that popular around here.
Yeah,
he was like, it wasn't. Like,
it wasn't. But, you know, like, I don't know if you noticed, but, like, I'm not a big dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I tried to play football when I was in fifth grade, and I definitely got, like, instant CTE from that shit. Like,
you had, like, the older kids, or not older kids, just the kids who have gone through puberty or whatever, just crushing you.
Yeah, yeah. He rolled me, right? So I was like, I don't think this could be my sport. And so, being this competitive in general, I figured out with hiking, I can compete with myself.
Yeah.
So, like, I started running, like, logging my miles, and then I was like, oh, okay. If I want to go ultralight on my backpacking trips, that means I get to use spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. Fuck yes. Like, so stoked.
Nerd out about it.
Yeah, man. So, really, it was just having no cell phone reception was, like, the number one thing that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And two was, like, pictures. And then I started venturing out. I went to, like, the Dinky Creeks Wilderness.
Okay, gotcha.
Out near Courtright. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, my first trip. And just got addicted to it. There's just something about going 9 or 10 hours and realizing I haven't said a word, I haven't listened to any words,
mm-hmm.
no music, no podcast, nothing, and I feel fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do I feel the need to be constantly inundated
with
shit?
Dude, I think that when I, like, go in the shower, like, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower, and then, like, I always put my phone, like, in the corner of my shower to, like, watch something or have something playing, and then I'm like, why? Like, it's like, if it's quiet, you feel the need to, like, I got to turn something on.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's, like, weird social anxiety that everyone's been pre-programmed with now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if your phone's not vibrating, that means you're not cool.
Yeah, yeah. Or you feel your phone vibrating when it's not vibrating.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, it's
that
nuts.
Shit's so weird. Yeah, that's called something, isn't that called?
It's like ghost
phantom vibrations or something.
Yeah. It's so weird. But yeah, so just kind of like you're there with yourself. Actually, you to be present in the moment. That's kind of like
it's almost like outside of yourself too. Because like you'll be hiking. And, like, I'll tell myself, like, I map all my hikes ahead of time with, like, mm-hmm. a lot of detail. And I was supposed to stop, like, 4 miles ago. Like, you kind of get in the zone where you're just, like, just going mm-hmm. and it feels good. It's like, you know, when you go to the gym. I don't think you go to the gym.
No, I do.
I didn't get that from your comments earlier.
No, I actually do go to the gym.
Oh, my bad. But, you know, like when you're doing cardio at the gym and you're 20 minutes. Okay, that means four of these five times, right?
Yeah.
You don't have that out there. It feels fucking primal.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, this is where I was meant to be
mm-hmm.
and where I'm at home or
at
work.
Oh, that's for sure true.
It's like, this isn't what I was designed for.
Yeah. And then, so what do you take for meals when you go backpacking?
Just peanut butter, tortillas, nuts, and jerky.
Really?
And a crap load of non-caffeine tablets.
That's
about it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, my friends take so much shit. so much food. We love the Mountain House shit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Mountain
yeah, House dude.
Shit. And then, like, but we'll have, like, there'll be, like we're going backpacking trips, and there'll be, like, seven of us. You know what I mean? And we each have a Mountain House one, and we're all like, all right, take a bite. Pass it.
There
like,
you go. How many bottles are you bringing? That's a lot of weight.
Yeah. We don't bring that many bottles, honestly. We bring, like, a couple, like, the flasks that are, like, plastic flasks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just, like, two of those filled with some, like, whiskey or something. You
cool.
know what I mean? I was talking to somebody else, and he was like, oh, yeah, I go backpacking. He's like, me and my brother brought, like, a 30-pack with us.
Yeah,
like, you brought
like,
a 30-pack with you in the woods?
Like, that's crazy. Yeah, you got to get some Trail Angel stuff to do that
exactly.
for you, man. I'm not doing that.
Exactly. What's the longest you've hiked, like, at one time?
My biggest 2 day mileage, I think, was like 44 miles.
But what about like distance? Days in a row,
like,
or
six
whatever.
6 days?
6 days?
Yeah, I'm pretty tapped out after 6 days. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys go 2, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And
but you want to do PCT.
Yeah, I know. But I think...
You're not making a lot of sense here, Michael. I'm just kidding.
I contradict myself constantly, and I'm okay with that. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, there's duality.
But that's different. But, that's like a whole mission, the PCT.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I'd hate it. Like, yeah. Maybe I would. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But, like, generally,
I feel like after you get past SoCal, it's got to be good.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, I feel like I can see how... The SoCal beginning is like, I'm glad this is the beginning and not the end of it.
Oh, yeah, I would have wanted. I may even skip it. Like, I'm not a purist. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, let me start at Whitney.
Yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah.
So, but I think after like 6 days, I start worrying about my son and like,
yeah.
Oh, man, those emails are piling up.
Yeah, it's like anxiety of life that kind of gets to you.
Yeah,
man. So that's like sometimes I've been on a backpacking trip when I just have a lot of stuff to do, but it was scheduled already, so I'm going to go. But like by the fourth day, I'm like, oh man, like I'm not even having a good time out here.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about like stuff back at home, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I did the Lost Coast Trail. Have you ever
done? Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude, Lost Coast is so fun.
I want to go so
bad. Dude, you got it. It'd be so fun for you for pictures and stuff like that. Like it's such a cool one. I think we went in the spring, and it was cool because it was like we didn't have to worry about the tides because it's like all about the moon, basically, whenever the moon is.
Yeah.
And like the high tides and low tides were like almost the same level. So like we didn't have to worry about the passing of it. But dude, it's so beautiful out there. It's so nice. Like it's ridiculous. And they were saying like you're going to see so much wildlife. And like the first day you go past a lighthouse station and it's like elephant seals and shit. So that's cool. Like and giant and like and then there might be walruses or there's definitely seals and stuff. And then after that, like we didn't see like one animal. And like me and my buddy went and like we just felt like so like primal. Like you're saying, like it was just like you're out there and it's like, all right. And like, don't get me wrong, we brought like ridiculous, man. We brought football. We're playing with a football out there.
Well,
Frisbee,
the mileage is
like,
so low every day.
Yeah, it's like...
If
it's
you do
like,
3 days, it's like 8 miles, 10, 12,
yeah,
right?
Because it's like 25, I think, in total or something like that. And so we did it in 4 days. And the first day we did like 7 or 8. And the second day we did... I think like 6 or... No, the first day was like 7. The second day was 8. But then it was like, okay, we only have like... It wasn't that many miles left, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it was so fun. It was like... Cool ass campsites everywhere too.
Man,
like,
I want to go so bad.
Yeah, especially if you're by yourself, you can kind of like go off a little bit too, a little more.
Yeah.
But it's weird because like you're walking in hiking boots, like on the beach, and the beach is just a whole bunch of tiny pebbles. Like that's what it is. It's not like sand. It's just like tiny little pebbles. And at the end of the day, like you'll go up and hike on normal trails and come back down. But by the end of the day, when you take off your hiking boots, the bottom of your feet feel like you can feel like all the little tiny pebbles. Like it's weird. Like it's like. Like through walking on it over and over and over, your foot can actually feel like each that it's tiny pebbles you're walking over and not necessarily like flat land. You know what I mean?
That sounds so tiring.
Yeah, it is. But like you're saying, it's not too long.
Yeah,
it's like there's stretches where you're like, oh man, I'm just so over it. But whatever, at the end of the day.
Oh, my life sucks.
Yeah,
I'm on the
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought I was so smart, dude. I was like, there's a permit open for Lost Coast. I'm doing it. And then I went to go look at the tide map, and I was like, well, fucking no wonder. It's high tide the whole time. And I was like, thought I was so smart.
And then, well, it's cool, because then you leave your car at the end of it, and you pay to shuttle in.
Yeah.
But, like, on the way up there, because I never really got to Humboldt County, so it's, like, Murder Mountain area.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like there'd just be cars like pulled over and some of them are on the side of the road. Some of them would be normal. And then we'd go around another turn and one would just be completely burned to the ground. And then another one with like all the windows are bashed in.
Whoa.
And then like other ones are completely fine. And then like, but they were like saying, they're like, yeah, like pretty much like if you watch Murder Mountain, same thing though. They're like, yeah, like cops don't really come up here and people take things into their own hands. And he was like, sometimes cars get parked and they're fine for 2 months. He's like, other times a car will be parked 2 days and it'll be burned to the ground the next day.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then
why are they burning the cars? I
think
feel
it just,
like that doesn't really remove the obstruction.
Oh, I agree. they're just leaving them there. I think it's more of like, and maybe it's their own shit. I don't know, but I think it's more of like just saying like, it's like keep out of this area type deal. Because it's like all grows, I think, legal and illegal that are going on up there.
Yeah.
And so, and then the weird shit, like there was like a car strapped up like 20 feet in the air, like all to like six trees and one of them. Like, you know what I mean? It just,
yeah.
I think it just shit like that. Like, they're just trying to deter people from like stopping or like going. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, but
that's like some narco shit. No, and that's crazy.
And the guy the whole time is explaining it to us like that too. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, this is fucking wild. Like, what are you talking about? Like, so casually.
Thank you for making me want to go there more. I appreciate it.
There we go. There we go. No, that's funny. And then so, Analog Forever. I'm trying to go back to this one a little bit.
You're good.
So you started it and you sold 500 copies the very first one, right? And then how do you get your team together? You know, was it always, because you just hit up your buddy, one buddy first, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you kind of connect with everybody else?
It was mostly my teammate, Michael. Mm-hmm.
You're both named Michael, huh?
Yeah. I'm Michael. MB, he's MK.
Okay, gotcha.
But I actually, I featured him in my first magazine called Prime years before that.
And so what was the difference? What did you learn from Prime to Analog? You know, you must have learned something from starting that.
I've talked about this a lot of like cycles of like intense work and then burnout and then laziness and intense work. And it kind of just goes in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually about 3-year cycles. Like, I'll work super hard on something. But have you ever seen the graphic of, like, getting to the top and then, like, you quit, but you're, like, right here?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of did with Prime.
Oh. Okay.
But I was, like, designing, printing, shipping, writing, website. Like, everything was on me, right? And it was cool for a while. Like, you're, like, when you first start a project, you're, like, I'm stoked. I'm ready to go. Yeah. And you have all this, like, fire to burn.
Mm-hmm.
The fire dies real fast. Like, I did that for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. Took a break. Then I decided I wanted to publish books. So I did I published 3 books of different artists' work.
Okay, gotcha.
And that was called Prime Editions because I didn't want to do like a...
But you also do your own photo books?
Yeah.
You, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my first one I did, I don't even know anymore, 2015-ish. Mm-hmm.
And it's all Polaroids in there?
All Polaroids, yeah.
And so when you translate them to, like, put these on the computer or whatever to post them on Instagram, you scan them in or what?
Yeah, I scan them. Okay. So I have to shoot them and I scan them. I have some, like, automation that I've built over the years where I've used the same scanner since I started, for, like, 10 years. Okay.
And does that make the quality, like, the scanner, like, quality is real good? You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's sufficient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to really replicate the way a Polaroid looks because it's glossy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
when
it prints.
So,
yeah.
And when it's, and I've tried to print on glossy, like even metallic.
Gotcha.
It works to an extent, but.
I like printing my prints on metallic, honestly.
Oh, it's sweet.
It just like makes, especially if it's like sometimes I do like nighttime photos and stuff, it like makes the lights really look like they're shining and stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll scan and then I automate everything and then I'll make a book.
Mm-hmm.
But you
blow them up, like, you know what I mean, for the book?
They're always the same.
Okay, gotcha.
Same size.
Can you do that?
Sure,
you can. And just like super resolution.
Man,
or something.
I have to send you an image. But
you're good.
My I'm making these big collages now.
You sent me one on Instagram, I think.
Yeah. And I'm trying to go that direction, just to make something different.
Yeah,
I'm still a landscape guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't go out to shoot landscapes every day.
Yeah.
Or every week or every month. It's just not possible. So I wanted to do some art to get me away from my everyday life.
Just to have something to do, basically.
But AI art is crazy, man. Like, I've been using this thing called Midjourney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just word prompts and it feeds you images. And then like there's like, I don't know, 400 different artists that you could use to replicate their style.
Oh,
so like painters, photographers, like.
But is this the one where you type in something and it makes it for you? So it's made the Tom Segura thing. You know what I mean?
Oh my god!
Like, so, dude, we watched this. Do you know who Tom Segura is?
Yeah. He's super funny.
Yeah.
Here's his last thing. His last stand up.
Oh,
it's so good. When they're talking about pot and like you don't gotta hide that anymore.
Yeah. That's funny. But no, he was like, he does this thing where he makes fun of Garth Brooks all the time.
Oh, I did not know.
Okay,
this.
Like, okay. So on the podcast, he talks about how Garth Brooks is a serial killer, how Garth Brooks is like this crazy person. Like, he just like, and like he has fans who like email him stories about like how, and they talk about like how weird he is, because like on camera he's like, hey, how's it going? Like, he's like they'll be like, we like donate now for all the children in Ukraine. He's like, yeah, like they'll do stuff like that basically. But he recently used something similar to this where all you do is you type in, like, you can type in Tom Segura and then Buff or Tom Segura Ball.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
AI generates all this artwork, but he did it to Garth Brooks right there.
Oh,
on the, and it's like the weirdest stuff. But he'll just post this on his Instagram, like this type of
That's
weird
so
stuff.
So bizarre, man.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But like, what does the caption say? Very impressed by some of the artists paying homage to
America's most talented.
Yeah, yeah. But just weird stuff. But he'll just make fun of, but like that, sorry, that's what that reminded me
no,
of.
No,
like,
yeah, it's
like
crazy.
AI generate. Yeah. And so what is it called that you use?
It's called Midjourney.
Midjourney? Is that like a website or?
It's like on Discord, which is weird. Yeah, like you plug it in and then. I wish I could tell you how it works.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart.
No, you're good. And so when you're using it, obviously not. We're like
Yeah.
But what are you like typing in? Just random stuff?
What I'm using right now is like I'm trying different variables of is like John Muir and a nuclear destruction in the forest.
Oh.
Because I, you know, my love for the woods and I'm a, I want to conserve them.
Yeah. And so it's like the modern day society destroying it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I have a ton of different stuff I'm working on, but. With that, it's so open-ended that I'm like, is it finished? I'm not sure, right?
Oh, okay, gotcha. And so you're just, and it gives you something else different to do, basically.
Yeah.
And that's completely, so that's not, nothing to do with photography then, right?
No.
Like, that's just like, and so.
Well, I'll print the art on Polaroids.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Yeah, the little.
Yeah, yeah. So the one I'm working on now is a grid of 81 photos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 9x9 grid of 9 photos each.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I get
the
image.
And how do you print it on Polaroid?
So I have something called the Instant Lab.
Uh-huh.
It's made by Polaroid, and it's this machine that looks kind of like this, but you, I'll take the one image at a time, super monotonous, but I'll put them on my phone, and I put my phone on top of the camera, and I hit this button, and it prints out a Polaroid of what's on my phone.
Oh, wow.
So I have to go into
photos. Scan it as a Polaroid, basically.
Yeah,
similar.
It's like a reverse scan, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. More of like a Xerox thing. And that's cool, but the images that spit out of the AI program, like the exposures are off, like the highlights and the mids aren't good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go into Photoshop.
And then edit it a little bit.
Edit it, yeah. Bring out some highlights.
Do you ever edit your normal Polaroid pictures?
No, yeah, I do. Everyone does.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, so for me, it's mostly sharpening from the scanner.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? So I'll do some selective sharpening, but beyond the colors, no.
No.
Because the white border will give you away.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? So if the image is completely different from like the white border and you try to warm it up, it will affect the white border.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
So, you know, most of my...
But what do you do it just, is it through a different program, like on the scanner, or do you do it from like...
No, I scan everything raw in TIFFs.
Uh-huh.
So I have like, I don't know, 20 gigabyte files that I'll scan. And then I put them into Lightroom.
Okay, Lightroom,
I have an automation for step one, and then step two is in Photoshop.
Okay,
where
gotcha.
I'll do some curves or whatever.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because I'm like this, right? Like... on my computer trying to
to
match it up, right?
Oh, yeah,
so sometimes I'll have to like step away and come back.
Oh, so you're editing, but the ones that you're editing it is to look like the actual
Correct.
Polaroid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're not editing it to like...
make it cooler.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You're editing it to make the scan look like the actual photo. So when you post it, it's like a true representation of it, basically.
Exactly, yeah. I try to be a purist to an extent, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's been occasions.
Well, that's where it's like, oh, that looks cool.
yeah.
Exactly.
Break rules, we're artists.
Yeah, exactly. There are no rules.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I'm really in a weird spot in AI because I've been seeing all this like, hate from artists.
About AI
stuff? Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, we're photographers and... didn't you guys think that painters from like however many years ago were super pissed about photography?
Yeah.
And it's
like,
guys, like it's just a tool.
Yeah.
It still has to come from your brain.
Yeah. And it's like,
you know,
it is weird, I guess, because it's like you think of the idea, but you know what I mean? You don't create the art, which is a weird concept of art. You know what I mean? Because art generally, it's like you're creating it with words now versus creating it with.
Absolutely.
Like anything, you know, it's something else, tool. But then again, a camera is like taking a photo of something that exists. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like not original technically. I don't know. Like,
yeah. And we could, you know, we can debate the pros and cons
exactly.
forever. And I'm like, well, I think it gets down to your personal motivation for making anything.
Yeah.
What is that? And if you want to be a purist and say AI art sucks, and it's not original. Cool. That's cool.
That's your opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It has zero effect on me because I'm not on Twitter.
Well, and it's funny that you do AI art, but like don't do digital cameras and stuff. You know what I mean?
So the AI art combined with instant film is like a really weird combo.
Yeah.
And then this is like probably one of the worst on the environment, right?
Oh, because you're just,
you know how many batteries I'm tossing?
Yeah.
And you know how much plastic?
I mean, but like, so, you're going to have to do so many of those to equal like one Tesla. So I think you're okay.
Yeah. So it's a good combo. And I'm really into like duality and stuff like that. So
that's cool. That's such a weird niche that like you're getting into. Like that's like a niche on a niche. You know what I mean?
I talked to one friend. She lives in Europe. Her name's Ina. And I was spitballing back and forth with her. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, she's like, aren't you going to shoot landscapes anymore? It's like, well, yeah, I am. But isn't it just fun? Because she's really worried, right? Like, well, everyone's going to start just using the Instant Lab to make photos. And I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, that's okay if that happens. Like,
yeah. I'm a very leave me the hell alone
attitude.
Well,
it's pretty, you know? It's almost like adapting film to stay in a different, cool way. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's like you're combining something that's so old, basically, you know what I mean? I mean, the original like film stuff, and then to AI art, you're skipping over digital, you know what I mean? And then it's like creating this unique product that's like, you know, and so are you good, or do you plan to like publish that as like in your photo book, in the magazine, and haven't decided yet?
For the collage project?
Collage, yeah.
I'm trying to get 10 big pieces together. They're like three by three.
Gotcha. Are all the same theme or different themes?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Okay, gotcha.
You know? But as of right now, I'm going to stick with like the John Muir theme. Yeah. I have one that I'm going to
make
today.
Well, I think you could go do so many different directions with that in each one of the nine or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean? Like I have one with him like walking through like a desert wasteland with like a gas mask on.
That's sick.
And you know, the famous As Above, So Below.
Mm-hmm.
So he is like a tree and then like a bush.
Yeah.
And he's like this wearing a gas mask. And it's
That's cool.
Yeah, it only took like 5 hours to figure out what words to put into the fucking AI prompt to get it going.
And so like when you put these words on, like can you give me an example of like
So I'll type in like John Muir in the forest watching a nuclear apocalypse, wearing a gas mask, like super long beard, hyper detailed, and then I'll put in like different cameras because it knows.
So, like, what do you mean? Like,
so, I'll put, like, Pentax 6.7 image. And that's, like, a medium format.
And they give you the format
camera,
of it.
And it gives you, like, this crazy detail in the foreground and, like, a blurred soft background.
Oh.
And it allows you to do, like, anything. Like, I could put
I wonder if you put, like, just for example, if you put, like, 50mm lens or something
that?
Would that
so
kind of
do, like, cinematic low angle shot?
Yeah.
You can do all of
that. That's cool.
So it's, like, it's constant, all these different variables.
Do you have to pay for this or no?
There's, like, a free option.
Okay.
And then, like, I pay.
But it's just, like, X amount per month or whatever.
It's per
photo thingy or whatever.
Like computer memory, RAM, I don't know.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm not that guy.
Dude, yeah.
But the amount of memory that I'm using at their spot. So I pay per like data.
Yeah, yeah. But is it that expensive or is it pretty reasonable?
I'm paying like $80 a month, but I'm also like...
You're using it.
Like I generated like, you know, 400 images last night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and there's like a slow...
And
because
you're
fast.
Like typing in an enter, like, oh, that's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, and then I can modify a prompt and take out one word.
Oh, and
then I can also
does.
Reference other images, right? So like, I'll take an image I like and then say, okay, reference this image and then you put in these words.
Especially
in addition
for like
to,
a theme that you're trying to keep.
Yeah.
You could not like each one's like... I mean, that's cool. That's such a... And how did you come up with that, like the idea of that? You just randomly stumbled upon the AI stuff
I've read
first?
An article. I'm a big fan of like long form journalism.
Uh-huh.
And there's a website that's now defunct called longform.org. So it's all like at least 3,000-4,000 words articles. And there's an article about AI. And I was like, I'll read it. And they mentioned this. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I just did it. I'm a pretty impulsive dude in general. I don't really like think too hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to do that. I'll just do it. that was it. Yeah. And then I was just playing. I was, you know, it was a weekend. I had 3 or 4 beers and I just
kept going and
just
then,
going and going.
And then randomly had the idea.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then I'm sure like everything, like you had the idea, but now it's adapted and grown, and then
totally
like it went probably from you just messing around to I'll make an art piece like this, and then like you're saying, I want to make 9 of these. Like,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man.
Like
originally, I was doing like I'm really into politics and philosophy, mm-hmm. and not on any stance or side, but
yeah.
Like, I read a lot of stuff from like the 1800s.
Oh,
like
that's
I'm a
cool.
big fan of like
oh yeah, who are your inspirations of like what since you
dude,
write
I
want to
get in trouble. So there's this guy Lysander Spooner.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a book called No Treason.
Uh-huh.
And it was, the bottom line was, hey, you guys wrote the Constitution. I never agreed to it. And like I don't know why you guys get to tell me what the new laws are here. I thought we just fought about this.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Right? So that's kind of
that's what you're
Yeah.
Inspired
so
by
I was
like
typing,
that.
Like I was trying to figure out, okay, if there's like political figures like that who are more like philosophers, kind of mm-hmm. like Thoreau, for
yeah,
an example,
yeah.
like Walden, right? I was trying to say, I was Googling, what does Thoreau hate? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I'll make an image with Henry Thoreau and what he warned us against.
Gotcha.
Right?
That's cool.
So that's another side
yeah.
idea may go
well,
that
even
direction.
Even like George Orwell or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that, like them like, in their society. That
Orwell in cybersecurity
yeah,
prison.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
something like that. That's cool though. So, yeah, yeah, that's just such a unique like random idea. Like
it's fun,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And like,
I like it because it's so different than like film. Or not, I don't like it because of that, but because
sure.
your whole like, magazine
aesthetic
and everything.
Is like film and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
and,
but like you're like, actually, I've been working on this other project, and you were like, messaged me about it, but I could no way you could explain what
yeah,
the
yeah,
book,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like what you're doing, and like yeah, so it's AI art. That's so like I would be like, yeah, I think I kind
of it's convoluted. I you know, most of my ideas could be simplified into probably like 2 sentences, mm-hmm. but they always like kind of it takes a lot of explanation
yeah,
to kind of
yeah,
come
yeah.
back.
What was your first camera? Like, when did you get into photography?
Oh man, I was 17. There was this guy named Michael Berigian
mm-hmm.
who was in Fresno, and I grew up like, you know, punk rock, going to shows, going to house shows.
No, segue here. So what like, what bands did you listen to growing up then? Like what were you go to?
My typical like aughts, like screamo shit.
Yeah, like
you know
I used to
mean?
Love Under Oath. Under Oath was
dude,
like
Under Oath is great,
bro.
But their newest album, I cannot get into it.
I can't, yeah. I mean, I can't honestly, it's like it's crazy because all those people, it's like I stopped listening after, let's say I was like an 8th grade or freshman
sure.
year, sophomore year, maybe something like that. But like, it's like when I think of them, it's just like the 2 or 3 albums that like
yeah,
the My
yeah,
Chemical
yeah.
Romance, it's like their first 2 albums.
Amen,
or, you know
man.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. But that I like, me and my girlfriend always going on a kick. Have you ever seen the YouTube videos, Emo's Not Dead?
No. Uh-uh.
You would like those. So basically there's this one guy and like, it'll be a skit basically. And him and his girlfriend are talking.
Oh yeah. My
and,
sister loves
yeah,
that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And it'll be like,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
She'll be like,
it's time to go. And he's like,
yeah,
yeah.
And then
yeah, yeah.
he insulates black nails, like the paint. And then, but the recent, like past year of it, he like had every single one, he has the actual singers in there with
oh,
him.
Oh, cool, man.
So
I'll
he'll have like
it.
The guy who sings Hey There, Delilah, or he'll have like My Couple Romance lead mm-hmm. singer in there. You know what I mean? And it just, and then they even made a freaking cruise where it was like all.
Yes,
all
yes,
the
I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
Emery
yeah.
was on it and their new album just
yeah,
popped.
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
and
exactly.
Yeah, man, it was cool. Yeah, like growing up, I just, whatever shows were going around, like anywhere from
Warped
like.
Warped Tour guy or no?
Kinda. I'm not a Heat guy.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so at the time, like this guy was shooting shows and like, I looked up to this guy. He was like running around, like amazing photos
yeah.
right, at the time. Like this was MySpace time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right? So, dude, he got tons of ladies, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, I got to get a camera, right? And then, so I did. That was like my whole inspiration. I know it's stupid, but
no.
it's true. And
where it's led you.
What?
I said, look where it's led you.
I know,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
so
we'll get chicks.
yeah, getting chicks. And I was like, I can't go out tonight. I'm editing. But so I just started shooting bands for fun, like my friends' bands.
That's cool.
I just grew up in that with those friends, right? Like I wasn't a musician.
What was the emo magazine? AP Alternative Press?
Oh yeah,
remember
AP
that?
Rocks.
Yeah,
I have a signed AP of Johnny Craig from Dance Kevin Dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it, dude.
yeah,
and he's,
yeah.
Like,
I have a flashback right there. I forgot. I used to have Alternative Press. So I'd get them every, like, go to Barnes & Noble, buy them, and then just cut that shit out and put it on my wall.
Oh, my God, dude.
Just,
okay.
like, random
Tom
bands.
Tom being back in Blink-182
yeah, yeah, yeah.
is the best shit that has happened to me all year. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I had a fucking Tom wall when I was, like, 12 years old. I'm not
Your
even embarrassed.
Are like, are you gay?
Are you gay? Only for him.
Yeah.
And, like,
Tom DeLonge, Mom.
Yeah.
Not DeLonge.
Did you say Tom's dong?
yeah. Dude, so stoked, right? But so I just I figured out that I really didn't care about ladies and I really loved photography.
Yeah, okay, so, that's cool.
I just started doing that, shooting bands, and then like
this podcast is brought to you by Creepy Kawaii, a locally owned art gallery located at 1742 Canal Street, right here in downtown Merced. Creepy Kawaii features art, spray paint, events, clothing, Asian import, snacks, and more. Now, you can go down to the shop, visit it, or you could go to her website, www.creepykawaiidesigns.com, or for more information, you can follow their Instagram. It's at Creepy Kawaii Designs. Patty runs Creepy Kawaii, you guys, and it's just such a cool thing. She always puts on for the art community. So please go out there, go check her out, and go support her. Thanks again, Patty. This podcast is brought to you by Lisa Haynes. She's a home loan specialist that helps you prepare to jump into one of the most exciting times of your life, becoming a homeowner. Now, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, or you just want to see what you qualify for, you can reach out to her by her phone number at 209-769-1877. Once again, that's 209-769-1877, or follow her on Instagram at Coffee and Home Loans, at Coffee and Home Loans. Thanks again, Lisa. This podcast is brought to you by the Sisters of the Valley. Located right here in the heart of the Central Valley, these sisters make homegrown healing products from CBD. So they make CBD salves, they make CBD tinctures, CBD oils, and mushroom coffee. They believe that you need to heal your body the safe way, the way nature intended it. Now you can find their products at sistersofthevalley.org and follow them on Instagram at Sisters of the Valley. Once again, sistersofthevalley.org is where they sell their products, and you can follow them on Instagram at Sisters of the Valley.
At the time, like MySpace, all that, and you just go out and
beginning
take photos.
Beginning of YouTube, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man.
It's freaking wild.
So I did that for a long time. You know, I'll still do, up to like 5 years ago, I would still do it occasionally for like friends.
Okay,
stuff.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But I loved it. I went on a couple short tour stints with some bands, and it was fun.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't really me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It still felt like I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't to an extent, like being social.
Yeah.
And going to having going to shows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, after that kind of ended, I started doing wedding photography.
Gotcha.
That kind of ended. 3 year cycles, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I said. So that's really it. Yeah, really simple story. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But,
and what was the first camera you ever bought?
Oh, I got a Rebel XT.
Okay,
with the kit lens.
So was that like the first Rebel ever? Or no?
No, it was like the Rebel, and I got the second one.
Okay, the second. Why did you make XT? Because there's no number there. That's why I was
Oh, yeah.
Because now there's like, a Rebel 7, Rebel
oh, wow.
7i or 7Ti, something like that.
Yeah, so I got that. I got a nifty 50, 51.8 lens and just went after it. It was tons of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Just fell in love with it, man. That's dope.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
dope. Because I barely got into photography. Like 2019 is when I got into
gotcha.
It. And then I bought a. I thought it was so much money buying a like Canon T7i.
Oh
and
yeah.
Like
man.
I was like $700. Like and then I instantly took it. Like we were with the kit lens. It's so funny. Like when you I always laugh. Like when you're somewhere. Like when I'm in public somewhere and I see like hella cameras and it's all with like the stock lens or whatever. Just because I'm just like the whole point of it is not to have that lens basically.
Yeah,
or the
15
to 55, the one that comes with
it's
Canon. It's like yeah, there's no compression. It's literally like. I don't know, but I always just laugh at people.
Like, but do you remember the first time you saw an image with that camera and lens, and you were like, whoa!
Yeah, now
you look back, and you're like, not whoa.
Yeah. Like, I did a photo shoot for, like, one of my best friends and, like, his wife, and it was like, they were like, oh, we'll take you out to dinner. I was like, oh, yeah, let me try to take photos and stuff like that. But I look back at the photos, and I laugh because I brought them to Lightroom. The fucking sky is, like, way too turquoise, you know what I mean? The grass is, like, not the right type of green to
go with
that turquoise sky. You know what I mean? Just little things like that. But yeah, like you're saying, it's fun to look back at it. But now I haven't shot landscape in forever just because like we were talking about before the podcast, like start doing client work and it's cool
takes
and all
over.
You're getting paid for it. But yeah, exactly. You don't get to do a lot of personal projects and stuff.
Yeah. And I know like me and my partner, we both complain all the time to each other. We're not shooting anything for us personally.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of become like, is there like a word under influencer?
Yeah. It's like nobody wants to say they're, I don't like.
Because I'm not influencing anybody to do anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, people are aware.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So.
It's like a, known. I don't know.
Kind of creator? I don't know.
Yeah, sure, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for us, too, like, we will, like, I just had a meeting on Thursday with a gallery out in Denver, Colorado, to do something, like, next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the magazine mm-hmm. to like do an exhibition, right? And we get on the call, and I don't think they expect like this like young, like skinny looking yeah. dude, right? Like I think like most of that demographic is so much older,
yeah.
Right? And like I'm wearing a hoodie and
yeah, just not
it's kinda like people. Zuckerberg going to the first like yeah, meetings, yeah. like looking all, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just kinda weird now. Yeah. You know? So I just oftentimes like we have a very professional online presence.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we don't really share anything personally. We're trying to change that. But
yeah.
I think because of that, there's like this like we're like up here and like we make decisions. We only work with big artists. And mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, man, like you know Matt? Like he lives in like in this weird town in Nebraska.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
he's super cool. We featured his work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's no cool. barrier yeah. for entry with us at all.
That's cool.
You know.
And then I think with that, you grow your community way better too, because it's like if you're only featuring the high end artist, like why would all the people who like love film or like love film, like why would they be that drawn to you? But if they see like, hey, there's this guy who like, yeah, you're saying like, it might be like, he might be a random artist, you yeah. know what I mean? But he has great work. You know what I mean? It's more like mm-hmm. tangible, relatable to people.
Yeah. Like I got a message a couple days ago, someone messaged me on my personal account and was like, hey, like, I know I should send you an email, but like, please look at this. Right. And I was like, yeah, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
And he was like surprised that we were like talking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, no, dude, like the thing I tell everybody is I'm just a dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That is it. Like I'm not.
Your film guy.
Yeah, man. That's it, man. Yeah. Like I there's no barrier here, man.
No, I feel
I was like, dude, I live in Fresno. You know where Fresno's at?
Dude, yeah. Like, well, it's funny. You live in Fresno.
In
so
Merced.
You have Merced. Yeah. We're always like, oh, like, I'm from Merced. What's that? You're like, you know Fresno?
You know, and I'm like, you know Yosemite?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're yeah, like 2 hours away from yeah. that. That's a better way to explain it to people, because people are like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's cool. That's cool. And then you self-taught, right? You never took a class about photography or anything?
Yeah, like, self-taught.
Oh, YouTube University?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, back
well, you
in
got
the
into it, like, early.
Yeah, like, back when I was doing it, like, photo blogs were still super popular.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. Like, I met a ton of people online. And one of them, what is his name? David Nightingale from Chromasia? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with his stuff?
I don't think so.
He was, like, the first guy to really push, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Like, cross-process stuff in Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
This is like in 2007, 2008. And yeah, that's where I learned. I took some of his like
that's crazy classes. That you've got to see like Photoshop like progress so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you got to see all the different versions of it versus like I've been in the past like 3-4 years. So like mm-hmm. I see like those different improvements of Lightroom and Premiere Pro and stuff like that. But like going from like, yeah. you know, like 10 years ago to now.
It's, you know, my setup's still set up the same, though. Mm-hmm. I only use 6 tools.
What do you use? What are your 6 tools?
When I go in, exposure adjustment,
uh-huh.
curves,
uh-huh.
levels, dodge, burn, sharpen.
Dodge, burn, and sharpen, people used to use those type of tools for film stuff. Like
bingo.
Like for Ansel Adams, mm-hmm. He used to like take his photos into like, and to make like the bottoms of the mountains look so much darker and stuff like that. He would burn them so it's like mm-hmm. a nice gradient. Like it draws your attention.
Have you seen the before and after of his stuff?
I don't think I have.
It's crazy,
Yeah, let's look it up. Ansel Adams.
Like darkroom before and after photo.
Yeah, or? Because, but I watched a whole bunch yeah. of the video because Ansel Adams is so interesting to me. And I just love Yosemite. Like, that's how I got into taking photos. So, like,
yeah, that's,
big
yeah,
inspiration.
There's a really good example.
Yeah, yeah. And you could tell where he's burning it and where, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And what is Dodge exactly?
It's like Brightons.
Brightons,
right? And Alan Ross is actually the coolest guy. Alan, thank you for being a subscriber to the magazine.
There we go, Alan Ross. Yeah, that's wild. Go to the bottom one. Right there, yeah. Wow. Really making that sky pop. That's freaking wild.
And they still offer classes, too. Alan Ross
uh-huh.
offers classes.
And so they do this in the dark room?
Yeah, man.
And so in a dark room, no light can be in there? Or what is it again?
Red light.
Red light, okay.
But I've never even...
You've never been to one?
Never even been in the dark room,
I feel like it looks like a laboratory for...
it's like a breaking
yeah,
bad
yeah, like it looks like a drug
situation.
Laboratory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. yeah.
They're like, look up, yeah, just dark room.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think the red is like...
And it just look makes it look like ominous. You know what I mean? It makes it look kind of freaky.
Yeah, man. Are we in the Eyes Wide Shut right now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, that's so weird. And Matt, yeah. Matt,
I need to get in one.
You should. Like, yeah, I feel like you should. What else do you shoot besides this? You shoot anything else besides?
So I have another camera called a Sun 660. It's an autofocus 600 speed only camera.
But is it Polaroid or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, it's Polaroid, yeah.
So, but you shoot anything else besides Polaroid? No.
No.
And that's, it's interesting because it's like most people who shoot film, I would say they might have a Polaroid, but mm-hmm. they don't like solely shoot Polaroid.
Yeah, you know there's like 10 of us.
Yeah.
I at one point, like 2.5 years ago, dude, like, I gave an interview for this outlet and I was like, I'm done with instant film. I got this new camera. I got a Mamiya 7, which is like a 6x7 medium format rangefinder.
Okay, cool,
right?
Cool.
So it's like this big and the coolest camera,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It just wasn't the same, man. I did a whole year. Like I shot 20, 30 rolls of film mm-hmm. that year and just
wasn't into it as much.
Wasn't, yeah. Like I got it developed and then I scanned it all myself and it's just, the magic of it just popping into your hand.
So what's your process like? You take a photo, instantly comes out. What do you do with it?
Oh, it's a dance. You want to see the dance?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I take a photo, it can't see light for like, I don't know what the official recommendation is, but for me, it's like 20 minutes.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Like my rule. So like I'll take a photo. And it can't see light. So I have to do this like dance and like put it in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So you just put it face down, though, to make
Put it face down. And my headphones were on, so I couldn't do my dance for
you. You're good.
But, like I do something, I don't know what I'll make up a name right now. We'll call it Photo Fairy. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I'm out hiking and I see, like, a couple or a family, I'm like, hey, let me get a Polaroid of you guys, and you can take it home.
That's cool.
I do it all the time. It's like photo juju. Like, I feel like it makes the sunsets better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
my superstition. You're, like, being, like nice about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's so, okay. I'll spend a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there.
Yeah, man. Like, I was on top of, what is it, Mir Pass?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, a couple months ago. And there was, like, this, like, tons of Germans. It was so super tight. And they were
You're
so
like my
stoked.
Last name, you guys.
I know. and they were so pumped. But, like, it's cool because, like, in today's world, I can't be like, you can't just touch people anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, dude, like, I'm not going to stand here with this photo for like 20 minutes till it develops.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I take it and, like, I, like, will, like, have it in my hand and I'll, like, throw it, like, on their chest. And I'm like, okay, keep it there for 20 minutes. And they're like, I don't know what to do with my hands. So I'm like, gotta go.
So, but what happens if it light hits it? Like, it just changes the way it develops?
Yeah, it does. So, this film is light and temperature sensitive. Mm-hmm. So if you take pictures below like 60 degrees, the film will be bluer.
Oh.
Above 80 degrees, the film will turn oranger.
What about, oh, I have a question. Go pull up his Instagram. You have photos and it's
with the blue streaks?
It's like the little, almost, I don't know, they're not burns, but you know what I mean?
It looks like
little.
So there are film imperfections. And like, I know for us, like that's part of the magic. Like each.
Rant.
Like,
what's the handle?
Right there. Yeah, right there.
The Garth Brooks AI.
And then go down on his profile. Just so we can look at him. Oh, way down.
So that one,
You're talking these?
This is like one up.
One up, yeah. Right to the right.
Yeah, so that one, it was in my pocket and it got bent.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
So these are all, like, I have this, like, super cool fanny pack that I keep all my film in.
Yeah.
But like I'm up in the woods, right? So I'm just like throwing this thing everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like part of my aesthetic is like.
It is what it
these
is.
These have gone through it with me.
Yeah.
They're not something that I created after the fact from this thing that I'm doing, right? So sometimes they come out like
and
that.
And then go down a little bit more, Duffy.
And sometimes they come out perfect and that's cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think for me, it's all part of the process.
A little
know?
More. Yeah, like that stuff right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so that film was old.
Like, it was an old film that was made, like...
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years old film.
Uh-huh.
And I keep it in the fridge, keep it in the trunk in the heat in Fresno, 100 degrees. Like, sometimes it's kind of fun to see what's going to pop out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think it makes it unique and personal. And
as you, and it's almost like it's not perfect, kind of like, hey, yeah, like, nothing it's okay. Is. It's okay if it's not. Like, the photo's not, and then go down more. Because I feel like there was, you had like four or five, I felt like, in a row that had like a...
Oh, yeah. I dropped my camera when I was in Yosemite.
And go down a little more. I don't know.
Yeah,
if it's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's more down, right?
It's yeah, like it a way. Before that. Yeah,
those right there. Yeah, yeah. The, oh, so, yeah, that's what I was originally talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah. So I dropped this camera, or uh-huh. the version before it, and these are the rollers.
Uh-huh.
And the film still isn't perfect, so as it comes out, it spreads the emulsion
uh-huh.
over this. Right. And if it is not spread evenly, you get that. Mm. It's because I had dried emulsion on this roller and you can still see it because I never clean my cameras.
Oh, dude, you're talking to the
choir here.
So this
will create marks on it.
I never clean my camera.
To the person that buys this in the future, I clean it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that just happened. And when I got it, I was like, all right, cool. Like I think shooting instant film is a really good metaphor for life. Mm-hmm. It's never perfect. It's never what you want. But
I have a Polaroid over here. I want to have you look at it. I don't, know, right. I don't know if it works or anything. I think it's missing like the eye hole thing to even like
well,
see the
right.
stuff. But yeah, yeah, yeah. I bought it like such a long time ago at like a garage sale.
So that is the coolest place I've ever been in my entire
life.
What
is this?
That was the Royce Lakes.
Royce Lakes.
It's
Yosemite
only like,
High Country? Or
that is out of Pine Creek Trailhead on the Eastern Sierra.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's part of the Southern, what, not Southern, Sierra High Route?
Is it, so where do you, like when you're going to park, where do you park, where is it?
That was at the Pine Creek Trailhead.
Is that
well, you can
on
get
Tioga
there.
Or no?
No, it's on out of like Bishop area.
Oh, okay,
on the
okay,
other side.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So, yeah, so like my whole thing is I almost always hike out of the east now.
Uh-huh.
Because it's either one day of hiking to get to the good stuff or one day of driving.
You should do the minarets. I've never done it.
Never
but,
done it, yeah.
But the minarets and they're Mammoth Lakes area. But cool. like type in like minaret backpacking hike. There's a lake up there, but you would take some crazy photos with the film camera.
Oh, like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I think like, yeah, especially with the reflection and stuff. Dude, I went to, you ever been to, what's it called? Ten Lakes or?
The basin? Ten Lakes Basin?
I think, freaking A. What did it, type in?
I don't know why they call everything
ten
number
lakes.
Of
yeah.
lakes and basin, right?
No, it's not Ten Lakes. What
Where
is,
was it out of? Like,
so, on the backside of, you basically park like June Lake, near where June mm-hmm. Lake is. Mm-hmm. So you park over there and then you hike up. And
cool.
there's a freaking, what is it called? But it's all the photos I saw were a cool reflection of the mountain. Like, and it was
that's
a,
tight.
Just this cool thing. And then we get up there and it's like just windy for 3 days. And
yeah.
like, you don't ever see
that's
the
how it
reflection.
Goes, man.
You know what I mean? At all. Like, not even once. I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, we would wake up early, nothing. Jit. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, type in Royce Lakes. So I'll show you. From everyone else's perspective. But this is like a moonscape up there.
Uh-huh.
And it's super cool.
That's dope. Where's that? This? That's where the you said you...
Yeah, that's where I took that yeah. photo. But you can get
was
there...
Was it that mountain?
Yeah, man.
Okay, that's dope.
Yeah. And
that's a sick shot right
it's
there.
It's beautiful up there, man. It is the first, like... My first time doing like off-trail stuff
uh-huh.
was like not... Was it 2 years ago? So like I went to a location and then like did part of this trail
mm-hmm.
or route. And it was cool, man. I did like 14 miles off trail and like learned to traverse through, you know, just stuff, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah.
I never done it before.
That's cool. I did Mount Dana one time.
Where's that?
It's literally, so you're about to, you go over Tioga Pass. You're almost, you leave Yosemite for a second.
Yeah.
And then you just park on the right. Like literally you see the ranger station thing
cool.
right there. And then it's a hike up and it's like look up, is that Mount Dana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like this, it's weird. It's like only, I think it's like a maybe 5-6 mile hike. So you're like,
cool.
oh, whatever. But it's like yeah. a 2,500 foot elevation gain or whatever.
All right,
and
all
like
right.
the first 2 miles, there's not an elevation change. So then
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
But it's like shale rock. And like that's the first
yeah.
time. And all you're doing is like taking steps up, like slowly. And then like, and we're all, we go from the Merced to.
Oh yeah, you're winded,
like
man.
Four,
yeah.
It's a four, I think you're pretty sure it's like 14,000. I type in what is the elevation? I think it's like 14,000 or maybe 13,000. Just go to all.
All yeah.
yeah.
It looks like 3,000.
I thought it was way more than that.
Well, that's the total gain, but not the.
Not the like elevation.
If you go to caltopo.com, Do you use that?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, change your life.
What site is it?
Caltopo.com.
Oh, okay.
And then just type in Mount Dana or accept.
Accept those cookies.
And then start mapping top right.
Oh, and is this what you map out your stuff
through?
Yeah,
man, I love it. Boom. And I'll tell you the elevation if you zoom in. Great for monitoring snow.
13,000.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's sick.
I like
Dude,
this.
You can, all right, so they have Forest Service, government, like people plug in their own stuff in here too. And you can download, like I have like a, what do you call it?
You can see like other people's trails and stuff?
But there's like the High Sierra Topics website mm-hmm. has backcountry mountain passes that are not on any maps. Mm-hmm. And they plug it all in here for you. So I have that saved as a layer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you import layers?
Oh, like, yeah. You can do layer? All kinds of stuff in here.
And it's just like its own little...
And it calculates the miles and elevation gain and drop for each day. And I can export it from there to my Garmin InReach.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I sync that with my phone. And I use, what do you call it, Gia? To make sure I'm, you know... Not 10 miles away from where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it's great, man. I use it all the time. And
Calitopa?
Caltopo.
Caltopo.
And then you can also monitor snowpack.
Oh.
So I always go like in the beginning of June.
Mm-hmm.
And snow's iffy, right?
Yeah,
You never really know.
No.
So they have like a weekly, if you pay for it, a weekly snow satellite where you can kind of check it out.
Oh, that's cool.
So that really helps. Like my last trip, I got in... like it was random. It was like the day before I decided I was going to leave my old job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I got to go backpacking. There's no snow and there's no fires. 6 days in is when the fire started in Evolution Valley.
Yeah.
And I got out like the day it started. So it was like the only time I could have done that area.
Wow. That's, you know, that's cool. Have you done Blue Canyon Lake?
Mm-mm.
Dude, type in Blue Canyon Lake. You should do just cause like, I love mountain lakes, honestly.
Oh, they're the best, man.
It's over on, I forget what pass it is.
We should go backpacking,
man. Yeah, dude.
Let's go. I'll even bring some heavy shit to make you guys feel better.
There we go. It's just cool-ass lake. It's like right past, there's a backpackers camp on the PCT. I forget what it's called.
What area is it in?
It's Sonora Pass, I believe.
I've never been up there, man. I've wanted to go over there. I drove through Sonora a couple times.
Meadows is the backpacking stop that a lot of people stop at on the PCT. So we went out on there actually too, and we hiked out there, and it was just like it was a cool experience. But it was literally, we went out there, and then it was like light, like crazy thunder for like 2 days, and then like, and sprinkles, and we're like, are we gonna have to leave or no? Like, are we gonna have to leave or no? And like,
or stay for longer?
Yeah, exactly. And then get this, and then this is the one trip all of us were like, okay, no tents. We're all using hammocks. Like that was our thing. Like, we're just gonna use hammocks, not knowing like that there's gonna rain. And then the day we get there, we hang up all our hammocks, and we look on the ground, and there's like, it feels like hundreds of little mice just like running around. You know what I mean?
Dude,
and
that's terrifying. We're like, I would not be down.
And then my other buddy has like a little burn hole in his hammock. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, is that your hammock gonna be okay? He's like, yeah, it's fine. And like, we're all in our hammocks. He's the last one to get in his hammock, and he goes to get in it and just falls on the ground. And all of us just like in our hammocks are like, laughing nonstop. And then he tied it, and he was like, okay, I think we're good. He sat back in it. Instantly fell again.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and then he had to like make up a little makeshift tent. Yeah, it was already like pitch black, you know what I mean?
No, thanks.
So, yeah.
I gave up on tarp life.
Yeah.
I had a tarp forever, and it's just too much of a hassle, man.
What do you do? You sleep just out?
Well, I have like a Bora bivy, which is like it's called a bug net bivy.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like basically a silly nylon floor
mm-hmm.
that you can hang the top to a tree.
Uh-huh.
And I usually only sleep in that. But I had a tarp, but I got caught in a storm, and I realized that I'm really shitty at pitching tarps.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I just don't want to put in the effort. And like, as much as like I'm an ultra light guy,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't care about 10 ounces anymore, dude. Like, I'm getting older. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need my spreadsheet to be the other guy on Reddit's spreadsheet.
I just
don't care, you know?
Yeah. I always do Reddit's opinions on stuff. Because my wife will ask me something, and I was like, oh, let me see. And I'll just type in whatever it is, Reddit.
Right.
And
every time.
Like, let me see the discussion that these people had about this 4 years ago.
Yeah. hell else are you supposed to do research?
Yeah. I mean, and then you formulate your own opinions about it.
Exactly.
But I'm like, well, actually, what I think is clearly what the fucking person on Reddit said.
I wonder if they'll let me comment on this 4-year-old post. Yeah,
yeah. Bring it relevant, or it'll be like, this post is archived. I'm like, dang it. Like, I can't put my 2 cents in.
The only other place you should check out is Hell for Sure Lake. That's out of Courtright, which is like an hour above Shiver Lake. And this place is magical. You can probably just hit images.
And where is it at again? Sorry.
You know where Courtright Reservoir is?
I don't know if I do.
It's like Shaver Lake is an hour above Fresno.
Yeah, 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 gotcha.
Courtright is an hour above Shaver.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
and from there, you can actually go into Evolution by going over this pass, Hell for Sure Pass. But this place is awesome.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
And it's only like 18 miles from the trailhead. I mean, I did like a 4-dayer, right?
Yeah.
Went up there, hung out, but it's beautiful.
That's really cool. You ever do Clouds Rest in Yosemite?
I've always wanted to.
That's better than Half Dome to me. It's better.
Yeah,
than
that's what I read.
Yeah, it's like cool, perfect. It'd be cool for your photos too, and it's just like, yeah, you get just unique views. Like, yeah that view of Half Dome, which is like way different. And then, like, I mean, everyone's videos makes it look like you're walking on this tiny little thing there. It's just a GoPro that's stupid wide that's, like, making it look like that. You know what I mean? It's not. I mean, it's a little sketchy, but not too bad.
Well, I see people on Taft Point all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not for me. Like, maybe, like, when I was in my
20s. Yeah, yeah,
sure, yeah.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But.
Well, you said you like to do some dangerous things, though.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Not that dangerous.
Well, yeah. Like, my favorite thing to do, like, when I was in my super early 20s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
2021, like it'd be 2-3 in the morning, and we'd be like, hey guys, you guys want to go bomb hills in Pismo, like on the longboards? And we'd just drive out to Pismo.
Oh man.
And it was exhilarating, man. Like, you go from the, you know, that spot from the 101 down to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You just, middle of the night, you're going through like 7 or 8 red lights, like on a skateboard, going like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're hanging on, and you're like, don't die. Didn't die. Okay, let's go again.
Yeah, yeah.
And
adrenaline rush.
So much fun, man.
That's
really
cool.
Stupid.
That's,
but tons of fun.
That's really cool. Actually, the Blue Canyon Lake, that road, Sonora Pass,
mm-hmm.
that's where so many longboarders bomb the hill. They bomb the hill right there. And like, and so it's just wild because I was looking at it because I've seen like so many videos. I'm like, man, why does that road look so familiar to me?
Yeah, right.
And then it's like literally the parking lot, there's not even a parking lot, I just pull off the side of the road for Blue Canyon Lake is right next to where everyone's bombing. And then Blue Canyon Lake's one of the ones that's it's a popular for because you can hike up there and there will still be snow on the mountain around the lake, but not like anywhere else pretty much. But a lot of people bring up their snowboards and they'll hike up and they'll go down
then
over the lake a little bit and try to like make it to the other side or whatever.
Like anytime I think I'm a badass, I'll go on the internet.
I'm not
at all, man. Like, like guys do so much crazier stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm okay with not doing that much crazy stuff.
Not anymore, man. Yeah, like, deductibles.
Life changes,
you know?
I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah, man.
Or you just turned 30.
I just turned 30.
Yeah, and then I'm 29. But like, we're all at the age where it's like,
yeah.
When I used to not think about getting hurt. Now my first thing I think about is doing something is, am I going to get hurt from this?
Yeah, yeah. Unless I have a few in me, then it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I know, like, I was on a trip a couple years ago, and I see guys, like, on YouTube, like butt, like, slide down these snowpacks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I could do that, right?
You didn't?
No, I did do it. But, like, I didn't figure out, like, I didn't look ahead, like, what I was doing, and, like, there was, like, rocks at the bottom. And I'm like, have my poles, and I'm like going really fast, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna break my legs right now.
Yeah,
and like I'm smiling because it didn't happen.
Yeah, and it is fun though when you go because Mount Dana, same thing. We slid down our asses down Mount Dana too, and it was cool. I mean that one was okay because there wasn't too much snow, so it was like you're only going from this patch to that patch. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and, like,
gotcha.
If it's all snow, you're just like you started going before you thought about anything too far.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I've seen this. I could do it.
No problem, right? So that was a lot of fun. I'm very lucky. Well, I have this thing, like, I never really get in trouble for stuff that I do. Like, I never get hurt. I never really, like, get seriously injured. So, no one's told, like, the world hasn't made me stop yet doing dumb stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Well, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't, huh?
I don't think it will, man. I don't think it will.
Oh, let me see.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. I didn't focus all the way.
Oh, you're good, man. And this is the what size are Polaroids? What size is this? Do you know?
It's like 3x3 for the most part, image. But I think it's like 3.25x4-ish.
Yeah.
I did all the math that's in Photoshop for the collages I'm doing. Uh-huh. But I try not to think about it if I'm not.
Like, do you know what I mean? Specific reason or whatever. Yeah, I feel you. So, don't make it more technical than it has to be, especially when film is like so, or Polaroid is almost so like, you just got to know your few settings and then like.
Rock and roll,
easy,
man.
Easy. Yeah, exactly.
I think the one thing that this teaches you is like EV values, especially like being a film photographer, right? Mm-hmm. So like I remember like years ago, I'm like, how many like 10 stop ND filter? Like how much, what is that in EV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you have to learn. And like doing like zone metering where like you meter for a certain thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I think we talked about everything.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people where they could find you at on like social media and stuff, and then your magazine as well.
Yeah. So Instagram is the only thing I have for me personally. And that's just my name, Michael Behlen, Behlen. And then you can find me at shakeitlikeapolaroid.com. Common misconception. I don't care what the song tells you.
What? How long ago did you come up with that name?
I don't know. We could search the domain registry, but I think I've had it for. Maybe it's at the bottom of my website when I started it. Well, some dumbass stole michaelbehlen.com from me.
Really?
Because I didn't re-register it, and he tried to like sell it back to me, and I'm like, I don't care about my name, so I did this. But I think like 2014. I think I've had it for like 8 years.
How much did he try to sell it back to you for?
A couple $100.
Jeez.
But I was like, that's not happening, guys.
Yeah, like
I'm sorry.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's my website. And then I run Analog Forever Magazine. You can find us on Instagram and Analog Forever Zine, Z-I-N-E, on Twitter and on Facebook, all under the same name. And we're at analogforevermagazine.com.
Dope, dude. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Blast having you. Put it there.
There you go.
We'll have to do this again.
Thanks, man.
Of course.
Listen. Yeah. I've been getting high. I need to slow down. Feels like I'm up top. Feels like I'm grown now. Hang within the music. How it go down. And I don't run from problems. Bitch, I flow now. Hey, bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. What? Bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. Hey, bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. What?
Bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now.
Said, wow, count it aloud. Motherfucker, I got me a pound. If it's love, I'ma shoot you the dope for the low. And this bitch want my seat like it's something to grow. Hold up. Can't feel my tongue, feel my lungs. Watch me roll up. Hey, till I'm numb, till I'm numb. Look, bitch, if it's rolled in, it's rolled. I be too high for my state of the mind. I don't be flowing, I just stay reclined. Luxury burning, no front, no inside. Cocaine's never ditching my Rio. Ayy, swear I'm in love with Maria. Thinking, do you love me back? But I know I can't tie her down.
What?
Bitch, I've been getting high. Need a
slow down.
What? Yeah, feels like I'm up top, feels like I'm grown now. Pain within the music, how it go down.
Hey, one
more time, bring it back like this. Listen,
now.
Bitch, here we go.
Bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now.
Hey, bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. Sing it, shorty.
Bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now.
To slow down, you need to roll now, get the shit out of my system. I need to focus, you need to hit this, get the shit out of my system. Potent peace, I feel too high. Hold on,
roll up one time.
Took it, hit and lost my mind. Now I'ma keep it on. This blowing tree just makes me cautious. Lose my time, but I feel prideful. Take some hits, yeah, it's to die for. Know what I mean, like you know. That talk is cheap, so you know that I don't speak or give in to their confidence. I know this shit is common sense, like
I've been getting high, I need to slow down.
What?
Feels like I'm up top, feels like I'm grown now.
Feels like I'm
hanging within the music, how it go down. And I don't run from problems, bitch, I flow now.
Hey, bitch,
bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. What?
Bitch, I flow now.
Bitch, I flow now. Look, hey, bitch.
bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. Hey, bitch, I flow now. Bitch, I flow now. Slower, baby.
We back, bitch.
The low end out now.
This is it. Real talk. And whatnot.
Real talk. That's it. Real talk.